Down to Business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Flowgas. Talk to us today for electricity that will power your business wherever you are.
Our industry review is all about the business of beekeeping. And joining me in studio, I'm delighted to welcome Eilish Goff. She's the founder of Milleven Fine Foods down there in Kilkenny. Eamon McGee, Wicklow Way Honey. And Paul O'Brien from Tribes Beekeepers Association over in Galway. You're all very welcome to the programme. I know tomorrow is World Bee Day, so I think it's a very opportune time to talk about you and your business. And we might start with you, Eamon. You might tell us about your business, Wicklow Way Honey.
Yo, I keep bees in both Dublin and Wicklow, and the Wicklow aspect of it is probably where I started my beekeeping way back when I was 11 years of age, kept them in butter boxes. But moving fast forward, the monocrop that I go after, which is the Ling Heather, and I specialise in heather, and that's how Wicklow comes into it. We all know the heather, the ling that we get in, it comes out in August.
Okay.
And it's an extension kind of to the beekeeping year.
So what I'd like to ask you, Eamon, then, if you say that you've got bees in Wicklow and bees in Dublin, the bees that are down around the heather in Wicklow, the honey that comes from there, is that a very different taste to the Dublin honey?
It's a particularly nice honey and a specialist honey. I mean, it's really only produced Wicklow, Scotland, Scottish are big in heather as well. It's thixotropic, as we say in beekeeping. It's a gel-like substance, and it's really, really could be compared like with the an Irish Manuka, you could say.
No way. Okay. So no, my point there, just to capture it, is that the taste of the honey will be dictated to by where the bee is pollinating.
Yes. With bees, it really everything is central to what the forage that they have.
Okay, great. Okay, let's bring in our second guest. And he is Paul O'Brien from Tribes Beekeepers Association in Galway. Paul, you're very welcome to the programme. You kindly have brought us in a lovely jar of Paul's honey, which is made in Arranmore in County Galway. Tell us about you and your business, if you would.
Hi, Bobby, and thanks for having us on here. Just to go back to what Eamon was talking about there on the bees and the honey. Honey is unique in the sense that it takes the elements from the ground, from where the plant is. So it's a bit like fine wines. You can get a complete different taste of honey from one area to a different area. And this is what makes Irish honey so unique, because our plant and fauna are unspoiled, and the honey is excellent.
Now, you brought me in some honey, as I say, and I'm going to taste it here, because I actually adore honey. And I was telling you earlier on my own connection with my late father-in-law, Jim Blakeo, was the accountant for the Irish Beekeepers Association. So he knew where all the bodies were buried, as well as where the bees were. So let me taste, Paul, this honey. Tell me what I'm tasting here, as you would.
We are tasting a blackberry blossom.
Oh,
it's
that's gorgeous.
In the season. And it's as you said, that honey is unique, and all Irish honey is unique.
Gorgeous. And the sweetness without being too sweet.
Yes.
And again, I absolutely love honey. Now, thank you for that, Paul. Okay. Let me bring in our third guest, Eilish Goff. Eilish, you're from Milleven Fine Foods, and Milleven means delightful honey, Oscoelga, as I understand it.
That's it.
So tell us about your business. You moved from Dublin many years ago to South Kilkenny to go beekeeping.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure whether I've been fully adopted, but I'm longer in Kilkenny than I was in Dublin before that. And we just had bees as a hobby and started in Dublin, brought them with us to Kilkenny. Started expanding the number of hives that we had, and then found ourselves in 86, 87 with two brilliant summers, and I'm sure even Paul remember them. All beekeepers do, because there aren't that very many of them. So we had a great crop a couple of years back on back, and then thought, well, a lot of people like this honey. Why not make a business out of it?
Okay, great.
Started Milleven in 1988.
Okay, well, believe it or not, there's two articles in today's papers. I was reading the papers earlier this morning. There's an editorial in the Irish Independent. There will be an answer, let it be, let it be. There's a second pun of the day. And we're all buzzed up just to do for the last one here in the studio. But Eamon, I'm seeing here that we need to be really careful. Was it Einstein or somebody who said that if we if bees aren't able to pollinate, that we'll all be dead within 4 years.
Yes.
So talk to me about the role of the bee in greater mankind.
Yes. I suppose the bee at the moment is the symbol. It would be like the canary on the miner's helmet years ago. You know, we're looking on the bee as a symbol more of the environment. And if the bee goes, really, we've lost the battle with the environment. You know, it's the grasshoppers, the frogs, the bumblebees that keeps the hedgerows. And that's another issue. I mean, the Heritage Act at the moment is before the Dáil, and they're trying to change that. But we'll come back to that in a minute. But it's so important that the bee is basically a pollinator, and it's the environment. It's not the bee alone.
So the things that could affect the bee population are pesticides, cutting back hedges. Yes. There are a few factors, but are we looking at a situation where we could be down that 30% of Ireland's bees could face extinction?
Well, at the way, you know, at the moment, Heritage Act is before the Dáil at the moment, and there's a lot of bad things in that for beekeeping. They're trying to move forward the hedge cutting into August. Now, August, if they start cutting the hedgerows in August, that's our winter bees feed on that. The ivy or the blackberry bramble, the birds feed on the fruit of the blackberry.
Okay.
You know, there are things working against us a lot of the time, and the pesticides again.
Paul, your own thoughts on that?
Well, if you go into your local supermarket and see all the coloured vegetables, that means the apples, the oranges, they all need pollination. If you take out them, all we'll have is wheat and grasses. So it'll be a very boring diet. Cabbage and wheat, that's what you'll be eating.
Oh, stop.
So we won't be surviving too long after that.
No, that's too bleak.
No, yeah. we do need to protect our bees. And one of the problems is they don't have enough forage. If you went back, as you can remember, as a young person driving across Ireland, your whole windscreen of your car was covered in insects. You could drive across the country now and you'd take one. They are disappearing. They're just absolutely, all the insects are being attacked because of the way we are living as humans. We're maximising the land for all kinds of other reasons. We're not sharing the land.
Okay, there's loads of text coming in. Hi there, where could we buy these super honeys? Somebody asks. Ailish, you might help me with that.
Yeah, well, you can find Irish honey, branded product, clearly labelled Irish. And that's the important thing. People have to read the label. It has to say this is pure Irish, 100% Irish honey. And in most of the multiples, most of the stores, you'll be able to find it if you look.
I was going to ask you that because I think there might be some confusion about what is Irish honey and what isn't. Yeah. And I think I know that we import quite a lot of honey into this country. So I'm just trying to square the circle on that. So is that down to the labelling then?
It is.
That you need to read the label carefully.
Yeah, we're not 100% self-sufficient in honey.
We should be though, surely, should we not?
Well, we should be doing better than we're doing.
Right.
And we were talking about this earlier before we came into the studio. It's in everybody's interests to have more Irish honey and more Irish beekeepers and better pollen, better foraging for the bees. That's in everybody's interest, whether it's environmental or honey. But because we're not self-sufficient, of course there's imported honey. I don't have a problem with imported honey because it's like any other thing. You can enjoy the flavours that come, as Eamon said, from bees that forage on completely different plants like lavender or orange blossom or something. But where the issue arises is, A, that you need to know what you're buying. You need to know what you're buying. And if a price is too low to be true, it isn't really honey. That's your problem.
And is, without giving away state secrets, if I put in 10% Irish honey and 90% honey from Eastern Europe, am I able to call it Irish honey?
No.
So what do I call it?
Well, you can call it a blend.
Yeah.
You can call it a blend. You can call it a blend of EU and non-EU. You can call it a blend of EU. You can call it a blend of non-EU. But you have to declare your cards on the table. And as I said, it's really to the benefit of everybody, everybody to know, okay, this is what I'm getting. If you buy Irish honey, you are supporting Irish beekeepers, you're supporting Irish honey. That's fine. And if you like to have a different flavoured honey, people like Manuka honey, fine, buy Manuka honey. But make sure you buy Manuka honey, not something else mixed up with Manuka honey.
Okay.
So all I would say to people is that you get what you pay for. And if you want something that's real, read the label, be careful and expect the value to be relative to what the product is.
There is a global problem at the moment with honey.
Yes, Paul.
We have probably at this stage up to 40% of the honey that's been sold as honey globally is actually cornstarch or rice syrup. And it's been liquidized into the product. And it's very hard to detect. The Americans have a huge problem with this, and that problem is in Europe now.
And this is a kind of a dilution or something,
is it?
It's
a dilution. If you put, as you said a minute ago, you could put 10% Irish honey and 90% European honey. But what we're having now is you're having 10% honey, full stop, and 90% corn syrup or rice syrup.
And would you taste that in it?
It's very hard to detect it. They can put flavours into the food manufacturers and people who are outside the grey areas of the law are colouring the food and flavouring the sugars that go into it. So as stated, if you're paying 50 cents for a jar of honey, it's not honey.
Okay.
It can't possibly be.
The jokes are flying in as well. B-Day, isn't that a thing you wash your bum in, says somebody. Tell me, the B-Day, and again, it's on tomorrow. It's a celebration, is it not, of your craft and of your business. So tomorrow is the first ever global World Bee Day, and experts hope an EU ban on insecticides linked to declining bee populations will help prevent further deterioration of the vital pollinators here.
Well, we got that ban in the European courts. It was upheld yesterday. Bayer took the European courts to task on this product, and we are the most strict. Europe now is the strictest place for neonicotinoids, which is one of the big pesticides that's causing huge trouble to all pollinators, not just bees. What we're doing in FIBCA, the Federation of Irish Beekeepers, was going to the schools and teaching the young kids from 8 to 12 all about the bees and how they are protecting the environment. And to be honest, I go around to the schools and the kids know more about bees than I ever knew at their age.
Isn't
they're fantastic. And they've all the bee jokes you could tell you.
Eamon, tell me about getting the product to market. Often with a business, you know, the hard bit is getting it, I suppose, from the jar onto the shelves.
Yes.
You know, and you're clearly somebody who's in love with your craft. But that bit of marketing, selling, making sure people are buying it. Tell me about the challenges there.
You know, what I say about when I'm talking to people thinking, taking up the craft, there's a bit something in it for everybody. You like the insects, you like the woodwork, you like the sales pitch, and you like the selling and the sales. And, you know, it's a balance of all those things. Now, the woodwork, yes. The marketing bit you asked me about. To extract, the floral honey that's coming in now at the moment is very much extractable from the comb. So we have by centrifugal force, we extract the honey. It literally drips.
I've seen some of the machinery.
By spinning it out,
yeah.
It's coarse filtered. Good Irish beekeeping production is to leave plenty of pollen in it, not to filter out the pollen, just to take the bee's knees out of it to make another little joke, and the bottling it and the labelling of it. But the heather now is a unique crop because it's a bit like the manuka. It's thick and it has to be pressed out, cold pressed from the combs.
Slightly trickier process.
Yeah, and as well as that, I mean, I could class myself as a migratory beekeeper. I move my hives every July up to the heather for this,
right.
and obviously there's a lot more work in the heather production because you have to, it's cold pressed out,
okay.
And then bottled.
Eilish, can I ask you about that same very thing? Getting the jars onto the shelves of wherever you're retailing the product. What is there anything that's particularly challenging about that, or is it all about the usual things: distribution, dealing with multiples? Shelf life, whatever it is,
It is. Well, that's the basic. That's the basic of retailing.
Yeah.
You know, get the product out there, get the price right, get the product right. I think from Malevan's point of view, what we've been trying to tell our customers is that to celebrate honey, it's, you know, honey does not all taste the same, as the guys have both said.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate honey. Enjoy honey. It's coming through the same phase as coffees and teas and cheeses. Like, there was a time when there was only one cheese. It was Galtee or Calvita or something.
Yeah.
And now you have all your farmhouse cheesemakers celebrating the fact that actually we can make really nice cheese in Ireland and we can produce it. So we've been celebrating honey, and you can buy honey from different flowers, from different countries. And that's the challenge in getting it to market, is to is to educate your customers and bring them with you.
We'll bring sales.
Yeah, tell them to come to Bloom next week and they taste as much honey as they like.
Okay, I want to finish on two texts. The first one I'm going to put to you, Paul, is all joking aside, how do your panel avoid stings? Again,
you don't. And stings have been known to be therapeutic. If you have arthritis, stings are very good for reducing inflammation of the joints. And if you look at all beekeepers in their 80s, they have no problem with arthritis at all. So if you want to get rid of arthritis, take up beekeeping.
Against all. Right. And finally, what about this? Hi, Bobby. I'm a young man that is currently wondering what to do with the land that I will eventually inherit. But in the meantime, I've been given permission to start whatever business on it I wish. The beekeeping sounds quite intriguing. Is it a good business and is it difficult to start? Obviously, all business is tough to start, but is beekeeping more challenging? Eamon, you might help us with that.
Yes, I would say it's to start off, he'd want to do a beekeeping course because he has to really know whether he likes it or not from the start, and he'll get to meet like-minded people as well, and he'll get to in any of the federation associations, he'll get to an open day and go along and handle bees. So that'd be a good start for him. The location is all important because of the forage available. I mean, if you have it, if there's all grass, if there's grasslands around them and cattle, maybe cornfields and very few hedgerows, its chances of good crop and a business location will be poor.
Great. Well, look.
And if he plans it well, he won't get stung.
Exactly.
There you go. And just finally then, hi, Bobby. Great discussion on bees. I'm in the kitchen listening to you. The other half has the royal wedding on. Great show. regards, Derek in Portmarnock. I'm sorry, Derek. We covered the royal wedding a bit earlier on, but it's all about the beekeepers, and I want to thank them. Eilish Goff, Eamon McGee and Paul O'Brien, our panel of beekeepers. Every success and good luck tomorrow on World Bee Day, and celebrate it with pride.
We'll buzz
because
off now.
It's a great business and buzz off out of the studio. Up next, 100 EY entrepreneurs on a plane to Oxford tomorrow. Stay tuned for that.
Down to business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Flowgas. Talk to us today for electricity that will power your business wherever you are.